the breath that I'm taking in between these sentences is all a gift from God.
Yeah.
The ability to learn is a gift from God. The ability to grow is a gift from God. So I'm acknowledging him in all my ways, in everything that I'm doing. Yet I'm also noticing, hey, you've put something on the inside of me and people around me that have skill sets that I can learn from. I'm not going to just sit here and allow my worship or my prayer to be the only way that I communicate with you. One of my ways to express worship is from avida, which is the original word for work, which is directly translated to the word worship.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Walking Christ Show, a show where we inspire the masses to become financially free while building God's kingdom. On the show today, we have Mr. Nicholas Belair. Mr. Nicholas Belair is the CEO of the Billion Dollar Body and is bestseller author of The Modern Day Business, creator of the King Brotherhood, and an international speaker and a host of the BDB podcast. So thank you for being here, Mr. Nicholas Belair.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for creating a platform and wealth in Christ together is something that I don't think should ever be separated. But I feel like sometimes people want to separate the two because wealth is more than money, right? And yet it's not excluded from abundance at all. And all you have to do is go to Genesis to find that out. It's like there was even wealth in Genesis when there was no reason for the wealth, and it was still there. And if we're supposed to pray that on earth as it is in heaven, then that means that we should be walking on streets of gold as well, because that's how it's going to be. So I'm pumped for it, man. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Thank you for being here. You know, to start this conversation, you know, I want to ask, who is Mr. Nicholas outside of being the CEO of the Billion Dollar Body, you know, podcast? Who is Mr. Nicholas?
Yeah, I mean, my number one thing that I focus on right now is King's Brotherhood, which is all about getting together and combining businessmen and people that love Jesus together. And those two different worlds. And that's because for me, like, those are my two different worlds that I love to operate in. Though those are the time that I'm investing in the areas of my life, that doesn't mean that those are highest priority. This is what I mean by that. Sleep takes like 8 hours a day. Unless you live in New York like you, then they only sleep like 4 hours a day. But still, that's quite a bit of time. That doesn't mean that a lot of people sleep more than they spend time with their kids, or they sleep more than they spend time with their wife. Does that mean sleep's a higher priority than their wife or kids? No, it's just that's how much time it takes. They're a higher priority than that. And for me, like, I'm a Christ follower, number one. My whole life submitted to Jesus as Lord of my life. My whole life submitted to what he's doing on the earth. Me, myself, I'm just trying to grow to be a good version and ultimately just be obedient to that calling. And then for me, I have an amazing family, my wife and I, so I'm married. That's my next phase that I'm like, that's number one priority. I'm a father, which is the next priority. And then I'm a businessman, right? Like, what we're going to talk about with business and all this stuff, like, man, there's times where we didn't walk in any type of prosperity, but we were happy because our priorities were correct. Our relationship with God was number one. Our growth as individuals was our second priority. And then our relationship, and then our kids, and then the mission and things that we're doing. And too often people make the mission that they're doing the main focus and can become the God in their life, right? So much momentum on the mission that it ends up being the thing that replaces God in their own life.
That's very powerful. And I want to ask, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, how do you make sure you don't get your priorities, you know, messed up or in the misorder your priorities?
Yeah. So when I started working with people, I started a health company that you talked about, Billion Dollar Body, way back in, even before that, it was called True Challenge. And I started working with tons of people one-on-one because my struggle was that I was 60 pounds overweight, and being self-conscious by definition just means that you're selfish of your, or you're conscious of yourself only. See, self-consciousness. So it was all about me, right? I was worried about how I looked and all these things. And when I lost weight, I saw that I was able to focus on others more. And I thought, man, like, this is a great thing. If someone's right now struggling, they can overcome that and maybe not be so worried about themselves and how they feel. And that was my first company. Talking to a bunch of guys one-on-one, I was like, what are your priorities in life? And they'd be like, well, my work, you know, my health, because they were going to invest in their health. So my health's a priority. And I'd be like, what about your wife or like your kids or like, what about all that? Oh yeah. Yeah. Of course. Like that of course is a priority, you know, like as if it's just like natural. Right. But yeah. Like, if we don't stack things in priorities correctly and plug them into our calendar, then they are not a priority at all. And so what we would do is we'd figure out to live the life that you want. Well, how do we need to stack these priorities? And so someone who's like me, man of faith, then God's going to be number one in that. But is it plugged into my calendar? And do I have daily activities and weekly activities and quarterly activities to grow that as a priority? Or am I just saying, oh yeah, of course, that's number one in my life. And then I wake up, scroll on my phone, get to work, go through life. And it's not, my calendar doesn't reflect that, right? They say, show me your calendar and I'll show you your future. So it's like, I already know what their life's going to be like if I just see their daily habits they're doing each day. And so we saw that that was number one. Number two was their health, meaning this is like your personal, right? Mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Are you growing yourself? The next would be relationships. The number one relationship outside of your relationship with God, because we established that's number one, is the spousal relationship. This is me and my wife, right? Even above kids, right? Like the authority of relationship is relationship with man and wife before kids. This is why it's always a good practice. If that's true, you walk home from work and you go into your door and you kiss your wife first and then hug your kids. Yet most men walk in the door and they hug their kids and ignore their wife. They don't establish the authority to the kids. Even the kids think they're a higher priority on the list than the actual relationship and marriage. And so it's like, if we can establish those things first, which is what I do inside of my company, King's Brotherhood, with a four-dimensional businessman, where we stack all these things correctly, and then we know how to track them and what daily habits we can have, then we can plug them in a calendar. That's all great. That doesn't mean anything's going to change. We could throw things on a calendar and a to-do list all day, but if we don't actually do it, it's no good. And so that's where it's really the community that you surround yourself with, the people you surround yourself with, the watermark in your life. When I was first starting out in business, I didn't really know what was possible, right? Like, I didn't know what kind of money people made, or like, I didn't know that Solomon made almost $1 billion a year just in gold, not including gems or spices or real estate or any other object. Like, I didn't know that he had people travel from all over offering him gold, silver, cattle, et cetera, just to hear his wisdom. I didn't know any of this stuff. So I thought people that made $10,000 a month in a business were like I should ask for their autograph, because I didn't know. And at the time I was making like $1,000 to $3,000 a month. And it's like, living in California, that's just means that you're behind on your bills. Yeah. And as I started to up level the people I was around, I noticed that I still was pretty terrible in comparison, because also $1,000 to $3,000 a month in other areas would be a lot of money, but in California, it's not. So I started getting around people that, I remember this guy specifically who said he didn't eat breakfast until he made $10,000 that day. Oh. And I was like, all right, this is next level. So I always tell people, I tried it for like 3 days and I didn't eat anything for 3 days. So I was like, I need to figure out my goals again, because I was like, I couldn't hit the 10K a day. And I still remember it to this day, because I started growing the company to $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000 a day, but realized that I was like, before, people that were $10,000 a month, that's what I thought was possible. And I was falling way short of that. Like, I just talked about $1,000 to $3,000 a month. I realized when I started getting around these other people, like, my expectation, my watermark, my what everyone else was doing, I started saying, like, I may not be able to do what they're doing, but I could fail and do 10 to 30% of that. And I've just continued to up level the room, the performers that I'm around, and I've adapted to the environment that I'm in. I truly think that that's a really big thing. If you're around healthy people with healthy marriages that are running great businesses, that are disciplined, growing in the relationship with God, even if you don't do it perfect, it's really hard to break out of that cycle. You get influenced that way. Now, if you're the most disciplined guy in the world or girl, and you're around all these people, that are pulling you the opposite direction, then you're naturally getting pulled in that direction as well. Statistically, if you take all the world, people are plus or minus 10% of their current friend group in health, relationships. Like if their friends are getting divorced, they have a higher chance of getting divorced. If their incomes are at a certain level, they're going to be plus or minus 10% of that unless they just recently changed their friend group. So success leaves clues. If there's one easy thing to do, it's to establish priorities, calendar them with action items, with people that actually know what they're doing, that are sound with scripture, and then surround yourself with people that are operating at a high level, because that doesn't take any skill. Zero skill required. And you just naturally start adapting to the environment that you're in.
No, that is really great. And, you know, while you're talking, you know, because I study different people, and, you know, one thing that I find in common, you know, with people of like high caliber, you know, if you consider successful, and, you know, and going back to what you're saying, different priorities, health, you know, relationship, business, you know, relationship with God, I realized that, you know, when you look at these successful people, it's like it's hard for them to be successful in all four different things. You know, either they have a great business, you know, they have a great thing in great shape, but they divorce, or they have this and they not marry. So how have you, you know, over the years, you know, master, you know, I won't say master, but learn how to be intentional about all these different areas of your life?
Yeah, great question. So when I really look at it, in every company, to produce revenue, you need to generate leads. You need to have some type of follow-up nurture sequence, the fortunes in the follow-up. A sales process, whether that's a page, a salesperson, a video, what is the way that they can actually give you money? They need an ability to do that. What's the deliverable for the money? So goods for service. And what's the retention, resell, upsell, ascension model to get people to continue buying over and over again or buy another thing? Absolutely required. If you're missing any of those points, then the company will never run at its potential, ever. If you're not generating leads, you'll never get anything. If you're not following up, well, the fortune's there. If you don't have a way for people to buy in a sales process, then you're not going to make sales. If you have a crappy deliverable, then no one's going to keep buying from you or stay with your company. If you have no ability to buy anything else or buy again or any of that, you're going to have a bunch of one-off buyers and never have a real company. So I look at that in business and I feel like it's so obvious, like that everyone would agree with me on that. And then yeah. I looked at myself as a businessman and I realized like, wow, there's a lot that goes into this. Like when I was 60 pounds overweight, there's no way I would have been on camera or on this podcast. I would have been too like self-conscious. So I'm like, that's probably important too. Like there's areas of our business that we can outsource and areas that we can't. So marketing, sales, stuff like that, we can outsource that and have someone else pick that up. So I started looking at my life and figuring out what are the essentials that I have to do as a man to be successful. Because I can outsource my meal prep. I can outsource even my workout plans, but I can't have someone else eat for me and I can't have someone else work out for me. I can outsource my education to have a great relationship. I could even outsource scheduling date nights and vacations, but I can't outsource connecting with my wife. So I should probably get good at it and be present for her. In my business, I can't outsource the vision. I can't outsource the hunger and why we're building it. I can't outsource the three phases of making money, managing money, and growing money. Like no one's going to care for it more than me. Now I can, there's aspects to that, but I have to be involved with that. So I started looking at, I could have someone break down the Bible to me, but no one's going to have a relationship with God for me. So I just wanted to know, like, what are the bare bones essentials that men can't outsource? Because I have guys come to me and go, Nicholas, bro, I don't know what I'm doing with my health, man. Like, I need help, you know, teach me. And it's like, no, that's not a good answer. Like, you should take responsibility for your health, because I'm not going to spoon feed you in the middle of the night when you're trying to go for ice cream. I'm not going to slap your hand. Like you have to be the one who eats the food. So get good at it. You have to be the one who connects with your wife. So get good at it. And your kids, get good at that. That's not something you can outsource. That's not something you can tell me, Nicholas, help me. It's like, no, that should be something that you get good at. So that's what I looked at it for me. I said, my relationship with God, my relationship and my growth, my relationship with my wife, my kids, my family, my people that are like family, my friendships, my network. These are areas that I cannot outsource inside of my business. The vision, the growth, the vision and mission that we're on, making money, keeping money, growing money, the purpose of it. Those are things that are mine. And those are my territory. And if I want to be successful as a man, just as a business takes five things, if I want to be successful as a man, if I do not take 100% ownership over those areas, I will live a lopsided life. And no matter how much money you would have, you would still be unfulfilled, because those are the areas in every man's life that we can't outsource. And for every woman as well, just women are naturally better at doing more than one thing. Men have this absolutely lopsided perception that if I just make more money, then everything will be better.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, oh man, like, right. If I just make more money, it'll be better. It's like, yeah, if you're already set up with a foundation of success, money will give you a ton of better things. But if you're unhappy, if you're building your life on a house on a foundation of sand, not taking care of yourself, not taking care of your relationship, hoping that if you just hit that point one day that you make enough money, like, all that is going to do is exacerbate everything. Like, it's going to multiply all the problems that you have in your life. And so when I was living in a 400 square foot apartment, trying to figure out how to build a business, me and my wife were happy. Was it stressful? Yeah, but we were happy. Why? Because like, our foundation and our priorities were in check. We were healthy. We were building our relationship, our foundation with God. And we had a circumstance of a financial problem, but finances isn't my God, and finances isn't my happiness. And God doesn't promise happiness. He promises fulfillment. Happiness can come and go in a second, but fulfillment is something that doesn't matter on your circumstance. And if you walk in fulfillment, you'll walk in abundance. So that's the way that I built it. And that's why with King's Brotherhood, teaching the four-dimensional businessman, we give the practical biblical steps of exactly how to do that and provide the accountability and community to walk it out. Because it's one thing to know it. It's also knowing, how do I actually do it? Not just what to do, but how to do it. And how do I do that repeatedly over and over again to get a result? Everyone knows how to work out in some capacity or what to do. They know they need to work out. They know they how to work out in some capacity, yet they just don't do it often enough to see a result, right? There's a quote that says, people overestimate what they could do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a decade. Everyone wants to like run fast, really, really quick with like a lot of busyness for a week, work out for a week, grow their wealth for a week, make calls for a week. And it's like, no, you can't get that much done in a week, but you'd be so surprised in what you can get done in a year, 5 years, and 10 years if you just be consistent with the mundane things. Because obedience is greater than sacrifice, right? Your podcast, yeah. wealth and Christ together, right? It's like, if you read 1 Samuel 15, it talks about Saul. And Saul was a king before David. And Saul at this time gets ordered by God to go basically take out this entire group of people and kill everything, kill all the animals, kill everything, sacrifice it all. And he goes there and he spares the king, disobedience. But think about how small this is. And then he just takes the best of all the animals and acts like he's like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice them later, right? So God speaks to Samuel, the prophet, and goes to him and says, Samuel's like, hey, God spoke to me last night. And Saul tries to play it off like, oh yeah, we did exactly what he said. Woohoo, come on. And he calls him out for his disobedience. And that's when God turned his face away from him as king and said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And disobedience or rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft.
Huh.
And that to me spoke to me so much, because if you look even earlier in Genesis, you can see an example of Abraham with his son. Abraham knew who God was. And so because of that, when he said, go sacrifice your son to me, his only son, by the way, you know, when he's prophesied to like have the seeds of that are more bountiful than the stars and can't count it like the grains of sand on the seashore, he's got one kid and God says, kill him, sacrifice him to me. What's he grab? The dagger, the wood, and starts walking to the altar with his son, son's like, Dad, we got all the stuff to make a sacrifice, but like, where's the sacrifice to the Lord? It's like, bro, sketchy. But he knew God. Like he knew who he was and he knew who God was. And he was obedient. And if he wasn't, he could have walked away and walked in an unfulfilled life for the rest of his life. Yet because he just got there, the angel of the Lord spoke to him. God provided the sacrifice and poured out blessing because of his obedience. And there's very simple things that the Bible teaches on that the Holy Spirit gives you power to actually live out, which is the whole reason why Jesus died and sent you the Holy Spirit, is so that you had the power to live out the things, to be obedient to what God says. And truly, inside of that obedience, you get to experience so much fulfillment, so much breakthrough, and the promises of what God died for, right? It's like Jesus died for a reason, and it's so that you could have what he deserves, not what you deserve. And how do we know that you've grown close to him? Because you obey his commands. It's like, as you love him more, you naturally just fall in alignment with the commandments of God.
Well, that's very, what you call a powerful revelation. And I want to ask, you know, based on that, you know, just going back to the four different principles, you know, I want to kind of go from there, is that, you know, how did your faith, you know, being that Foursquare apartment, you know, transforming, knowing all these different information, knowing that Solomon had people going from far and near to hear his wisdom. Now, like, okay, the Bible is really giving me the secret. Like, so how did you take all that information, you know, and apply that faith that you took your business to seven figures? So how did you go from there?
Yeah, great question. So for me, like, I never went to church before I was 18. I ended up getting saved at some three kids small group. And I was like into a bunch of demonic stuff before that. Like I was like doing Ouija board parties and like trying to figure out like, is there something bigger out there than me? Definitely found out that there was things way bigger than me. I just didn't know, okay, if there's the bad side, I never even thought about trying to find God. I thought like, the bad stuff must be way stronger. All of a sudden I have this massive encounter with God, literally rips my heart out, puts a new heart in my body. Like I was a completely different person. From there, I went to ministry school for 2 years and then got called into business. Freshly married. I feel God saying, go into the business world. This is where you're called to be. And like, I failed for 3.5 years because I also didn't notice that Solomon in all of his wisdom, when he was looking for a bronze worker for the temples that he was building, he looked for the best bronze worker and called them in and said, you're the best, do all the bronze work here. And like, he had all the wisdom yet no capacity to work with bronze. And so like a gift from God, and this person had built like another kind of like what would be called maybe an earthly skill set, right? Like if right now you're like, I love God, like the Bible, I know it all front to back. If you go run 100 miles, like that doesn't make you fit. Like reading the Bible doesn't make you fit.
Yeah.
Like it takes running. And so you can take the biblical principles, your relationship with God, and say, I am a runner and I'm going to put in the work required based on the blueprints that are necessary to become a long distance runner. And for me in business, like I didn't know that there's biblical foundations to build my business, yet I didn't understand the ability to co-labor with Christ and build skill sets. And so it wasn't until I started getting mentors like the bronze worker to come in and show me how to put my hands to something to put into action the faith that I had, right? It says faith without works is dead, right? And all of a sudden I started taking this faith and started putting it into action and trusting that God would be the one that develops my skill set. So just as a caveat, like even the breath that I'm taking in between these sentences is all a gift from God.
Yeah.
The ability to learn is a gift from God. The ability to grow is a gift from God. So I'm acknowledging him in all my ways, in everything that I'm doing. Yet I'm also noticing, hey, you've put something on the inside of me and people around me to have skill sets that I can learn from. I'm not going to just sit here and allow my worship or my prayer to be the only way that I communicate with you. One of my ways to express worship is from avida, which is the original word for work, which is directly translated to the word worship. I didn't know my work was worship. I thought worship was music, prayer, thanksgiving, praise. Thought these were worship. And when I was working, I was like, apart from that, like, God bless my work. And I'm like, all it's doing is taking 10 hours of my day away from doing worship. So it's when I really started realizing that I could I could bring my faith and skill sets together to co-labor with Christ for the things that he's put in front of me and really do it for the correct format of what the kingdom built for. So originally the original word for work is worship. So we worship God through our work as kings in the kingdom, like as somebody who's called to build wealth and a business. This is where I'm called. So what I'm doing is worship to the Lord, because it's one, good products, good services, done with nothing that contradicts the Bible. And so inside of that, my work can be worship. Why do we work? We work to create wealth. Like, you're not, like a lot of people will be like, oh man, these people are all about the money. It's like, well, you work 40 to 60 hours a week for nothing. That's called slavery. Like, that's Israelite. Like, that you're still working 40 to 60 hours a week to make money to survive. That is not like a badge of honor, just as it's not a badge of honor to work 5 hours a week and make a billion. Like, it's not your crown anyway. So it's not like any of us get a badge of honor. So let's really break down biblically, what is the point of working? Worship. Why do we work? To produce wealth. Why do we produce wealth? To create freedom. We've seen a lot of entrepreneurs with freedom, and they use it for tons of stupid things. Girls, boats, like getting themselves in trouble, living an unhealthy lifestyle. We've seen that. But there's actually a purpose for wealth, which is to create freedom. And there's a purpose for freedom, which biblically is the ability to worship God. And then to invest back into the world through our time, our money, our resources, and our skill sets, to be able to give back. What's the point of that? To be able to take care of the poor, the widow, like, right? Go read Matthew and the story of the parable of the talents. Like, what is the purpose for it? And so it's like, if we can figure out how to correctly enter in to the promises that God's given us and use our faith and add it with work, like, I thought working was like striving, like, oh man, I'm doing it all. I'm relying on my own strength. I need to sit in a closet and just wait for everything to happen. Now I'm like, wow, actually it's an opportunity to be able to partner with God, because he's saying, hey, I'm going to give you the strength to go create just like me. Think about Adam, bro. Adam was such a G. Adam was so creative and so smart the way that God made him. Because remember, we're made in God's image. So we can't be that stupid. People think I'm just a person. I'm such a piece of crap. I'm like, you know, you're made in God's image, right? So as soon as you start bashing yourself, you're also bashing God. So Adam is told to name all the animals.
Yeah.
And he remembered all their names. Bro, think about this. Imagine being born and you know nothing, and you get to name everything out of words that you've never said. And then you remember all of them out of all the animals that you named. Like, there was a lot of amazing things in that, and a lot of creativity. A lot. It's just it dumbfounds me, the whole process. So really, I truly believe that if you can align yourself biblically by obeying God's commands, and that I'm even talking tithing, everything, bro. Like, people will be crying all day, but like 3% of Christians tithe across every denomination, 1.8% in some churches, and like a high church of tithing is 17%. And I'm like, whose money is it? It's like, and what promises are you hanging your hat on? Right? Like, I know that God said, test me in this, and that he'll return back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And it's like, it's all God's money anyway. And so if it's like, if we can't break through that barrier, we can't expect the outcome if we can't submit ourselves to the correct process of God being our multiplier in our business, companies, and lives. And it first starts by simply like obeying his commands, and also with the caveat of knowing, like, you're never going to be, it's not that you never are, because I don't actually believe that, but it's that you, it's not about being perfect, because it's not like the outcome that you get is because of what you do anyway. It's because of what he did.
Yeah.
But how do we know that you've had a encounter and connection with God? Is that you naturally start aligning yourself with what he teaches. That's the fruit and the outcome of it. Scripture says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. That sounds so like matter of fact, like, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. It's like, no, like, actually, if you love me, one of the fruits of that is you naturally start going in a way that makes you more prosperous.
Hey, family, I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. And if you are and you have yet to subscribe to us here on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. And also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts and you have yet to leave us a 5-star review, please do so. Now back to the episode.
You're dropping a lot of gems, and I'm appreciating you expanding my mindset personally while I'm listening to you. And you're 100% right. I agree with you. Everything you said, you know, applying the Bible, the biblical principles, it can definitely change your life. And I like the fact that you mentioned that, you know, it's us that we have to align with God. It's not God has to align with us. And I feel like oftentimes as entrepreneurs or, you know, people, you know, going back to what you said, you know, we get caught up into the mission. We turn the mission into our God and forget, you know, God's when I gave us the vision and the mission. So being that said, you know, I want to go into the next principle, which is the health. You know, you mentioned how, you know, you was over 60 pounds overweight and you had to go from self-conscious to self-awareness. You know, and like understanding that, you know, that you being overweight, it was a self-conscious thing. So how did you go from being a self-conscious person to a self-aware person?
Yeah, it's really good, bro. Just so I break this down, I pulled it up for the people and I talked about fulfilling God's covenant of what's the point of making the profits and stewarding it, like the parable of the talents in Matthew 16, 17, or that's part of it, Matthew 14, 15, and all the way through the end of Matthew is feed the hungry, nourish the thirsty, house the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit those in prison. Those were core commands. So for me, man, how did I go from self-conscious to the opposite? It was really like an interesting process for me because I was overweight. So I was super worried about what everyone worried about, like thought about me. And as I started to transform is when I started noticing that I was able to like less think about myself and more be of service to others. And I realized that as I was healthy, it allowed me to be better of service. And now people would probably talk about this with like, if your cup's filled up, it's easier to pour out, but you can't pour out of an empty cup. And you're going to be like, as a man, frustrated, angry, blow up. If you're pouring out to people and you're not poured into. And as a high achieving man, especially in business, the natural instinct, if we don't let out aggression through working out, exercise, strenuous activity, is to bottle up anger. And so like all these things are super fruitful to like, hey, I want to manage that by having something. I go lift heavy weight. I can go run a long distance. I can push myself to chill myself out so I don't get wound up from sitting in an office all day, not taking care of myself and making progress and letting my mind be able to kind of like decompress and file back memories and thoughts throughout the day by doing something that's with my hands rather than doing something that's with just my mind. So I think that that's really big. But for me, it really came down to, I was 18, just had gotten saved. And I had a girl that I played guitar with in guitar class for 3 years straight that ended up committing suicide. Oh, wow. And I passed her in school every day. And every day I was always worried about, should I say this to her? Is she going to think I'm hitting on her? What does she think about me? All these different things. So we'd always just pass each other and I'd be like, hi. So what was so crazy about that is that I actually planned this little thing at our church about a week after she died. And it was basically like, hey, come honor her memory. And it was just word of mouth. And like, obviously the news had spread across the school, but about 450 people showed up.
Wow.
And I went up there on the microphone. I couldn't really speak at the time, and I wasn't good at speaking on a microphone in front of people at all, which is like all I do now, by the way. So it's like, God's good in that way. I couldn't even get a sentence out there. But what I walked away with was, it's so interesting that she made a big enough impact in 450 people that they would come out at nighttime a week later on word of mouth notice, but not 450 people didn't make a big enough impact in her that she had anyone to call before she decided to kill herself.
Mm.
And that to me was like where I was like, something needs to change. And so I remember about, and I wrote about this in Modern Day Businessman as well, and I break down the whole story. But I remember a few months later, this is why I was like crying out to God, like, I want to be used for something bigger. Like, why didn't I have like a feeling of like, I should talk to this chick, you know, I'm walking by her every day. Like, I was just so obsessed with myself that I wasn't able to serve others. And I was like, God, use me. And I'll just like try to listen. Like, I want to be obedient, right? Like, it's like, dedicate everything you do unto the Lord and he'll crown your efforts with success. Like, choose your path and God will direct your steps. That's what I'm saying. Like, these are promises, like, that you can fully grasp onto, because God is so good and he's so true that he even has to inflict destruction on people that disobey what he says, even though he loves them more than you love anyone else, because he's so truthful that he's consistent with everything he's ever said. Even if it hurts someone else because they choose to go down a path of destruction, he has to let that happen because he's so true that he doesn't ever contradict anything he's ever said. So if he's truthful in that, he's going to be truthful in the promise. So I aligned myself with the promise and I was like, even if I'm wrong, I don't hear from God, but I'm trying to be obedient. At least he knows that I'm choosing my path and he can direct my steps as I go. Like, hello, help me. So I feel it was great. I felt that one night to get off on a exit that wasn't my exit on the freeway. I felt like I should turn left. I felt like I saw this guy on the side of the road. I felt like I should stop for him. This guy rushed my truck and I thought he was going to try to kill me. He was like tatted up with from his feet to his neck and no shoes on. Like, I was 18 years old, like only 120 pounds after I lost all my weight. And he got in my truck and he bawled his eyes out because he was going home to kill himself in the middle of the night, like 1 in the morning. And I was like, wow, I didn't really know. Like, God didn't tell me there's a guy down the street that's going to kill himself. Go. I had this little tiny feeling of get off at this exit at 1 a.m. in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, whatever. And I felt like, I think I should go left. As soon as I saw the guy, I was like, ooh, I think this is the guy. Like, this is why I'm here. But I didn't know why, like each step of the way. What I did know is I was trying to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And for me, because I talked about earlier that obedience is better than sacrifice. Like, obedience to me is like what I strive for. Like, that's why it just makes me so fired up, man. Like, I would just love to be obedient, right? Like, if God's in it, like, I want to be a part of it. And I know his plans are to prosper me, right? To give me a future and a hope. I know the promises. I know who he is, just as Abraham knew who God was when he says, sacrifice Isaac. He's like, okay, like, I already know you. I know that everything you do is better than I think. I'm going to be obedient in this because I know who you are. You're my provider, right? And he did provide not only there a sacrifice, but it was prophetic for the one who was to come and the sacrifice that he created through Jesus Christ. So I think that each step of that way of being obedient and asking yourself, like, how can I be obedient today? And it first starts with what God already says, like getting off on the exit and all that stuff. That's great. But like, there's also things in biblically right there that is God's word. God is the word. The word became flesh. It's alive. It's right there. It's what God said and is saying and is alive today. That's a great place to start because he's speaking right there all day. It's right there. You open it up. It's like you Google it. What are God's promises? How can I be obedient? What are things that God says to do that are fruitful? And the best thing about having the Holy Spirit as a born again, Holy Spirit filled believer is that the law is no longer just written on stone. It's now written on your heart. Like, you start now, all of a sudden, you know it. Like, you start getting convictions that you never had before. Start like that. And if you have that, that means you're going in the right direction. Start losing some of those convictions. Like, it's like, huh, if I'm able to do bad things and not feel anything towards it, I don't feel like I'm swimming in the right direction up or down the stream. Right. They say a dead fish is the only fish that swims downstream. Every other fish swims up the stream. So if you're not feeling any resistance towards where you're going or feeling anything, like, So oftentimes, huh, are you really going the right direction? If you're feeling no resistance, then you might be swimming the wrong way.
Wow, wow, that, and I want to say I appreciate you, you know, sharing that testimony about, you know, how you went from self-awareness to self-consciousness. Because even me thinking now is like, I can see a lot of times where I'm really self-aware, self-conscious, you know, about what I do, how I dress, and not missing God's movement in that moment where I can be self-aware and been helping other people. So I definitely appreciate that. And, you know, it kind of makes sense now, the four principles, you know, you got God, you know, once you understand God and God fills your cup, you're able to take care of yourself. And I want to now go into your relationship, you know, you talk about relationship with your wife, you know, how important is that as a man to have a great relationship with your significant other, with your family, in order to eventually succeed in business?
Yeah. So even the first problem addressed in the Bible, the first problem, everything was good until this one moment. It's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
And I believe that in friendships as well. It's not like just that one relationship is like loneliness to not, but that was the first form. And he who finds a wife also finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. So I'm down for that too, right? I'm not just like making it up. I'm just like, that's just what it says. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the truth. And even in the biblical or the business sense is that in business, there's a lot of talk around masterminds. I run them. It's when people come together in a spirit of harmony, one like-minded mind, and we get into a room together and we're able to think of ideas that we would have never been able to think of before. It's like the collaboration of everyone just like accelerates everything. And in Thinking Grow Rich, that's talked about as like a third mind. Like there's almost like another person operating there. And ultimately like that, one, the disciples were a great example of that when they were in one accord before the Holy Spirit fell in Acts 2, they were together in one accord. I would say it's that same concept, just the world is trying to describe it. And so that type of concept where two or more are gathered, it's super powerful when people become one person and they are that two people. The most powerful humanly mastermind on the planet is between husband and wife. Above any business group or any of that stuff, the alignment in one accord of husband and wife is the most powerful mastermind, is the most powerful when two or more gathered. It's the place where you can have your masculine and feminine come together, like also realizing inside of Adam, like the feminine was taken out of Adam and put into Eve. While guys are sitting here in 2022 trying to figure out how they can be more feminine and tap into their feminine, like not realizing that actually their feminine was built inside of their spouse, not inside of them. Like feminine doesn't exist in man. They try to create it. Like you can act like anything you want, right? I can act like a dog if I'm not, but I'm not a dog. I can act like whatever I want. But ultimately, that aspect, I get to tap into that from her side because she brings that to complete this relationship. And that's the most powerful thing to me. And on the logical side as well, there's nothing like having the closest person to you that when aligned the right way, that knows all your problems, all your shortcomings, how you live life. And when they believe in you and see greatness in you, you believe it like nothing else. Because you may say, Nicholas, you did great on this podcast, right? Or you may say, Nicholas, you did terrible on this podcast. I don't like you. If that carries a lot of weight with me, then that's just weird because you don't know me. This is the first, you know, this is the first time we've been able to hang out together. So it's like whether you praise me or hate me, you really don't know who I am. So who cares? Like it's nice, but you don't know what I'm like every minute of every day. But my wife does. And when you have a powerful, supportive wife or husband that is sitting there going, you're amazing. I see God's calling in your life. I see the potential that you have. I see the strengths that you have. Go out there, take that opportunity, get on that stage, create those videos. You're like, wow, this is the person that sees all my shortcomings and all my strengths and still calls me higher, which is why a bad out of alignment relationship can be one of the worst things. Because if you have a negative person who can't see the gold, can't see what God's doing, now all of a sudden you have this huge anchor of someone who's speaking negatively in you when they're the closest person to you. And by definition, are actually one together with you. And so your breakthrough as a spouse, my wife's breakthrough contributes to my breakthrough in the opposite, even if we're in completely different areas. Like if she's upstairs right now learning and growing, that's contributing to my breakthrough and growth. If I'm sharing this message here and making an impact and growing, I'm contributing to her growth because we're one.
That's powerful. That is powerful. And I never had anyone ever, ever broke down the story of Genesis, you know, where God put Adam to sleep and, you know, took the woman out of him that created Eve. And it makes 100% sense the way you explain it. You know, as man, we are supposed to be masculine, while as woman, they're supposed to be feminine. And it doesn't make sense as a man for you to tap into your feminine when God already took that feminine out of you. Like, I never had anyone, no pastor or anything. So I truly appreciate that analogy and that wisdom that you just dropped here. And I hope those who listen hope that didn't go over their head. And, you know, now to like the final thing, you know, where we're in business, you know, like what would you say are five things that, you know, that help you in terms of steps, like logical steps that help you grow in terms of business? You mentioned earlier, you know, you start investing yourself in terms of mentorships and masterminds. But is there anything else that you do did you do outside of that to take your business to seven figures?
Yeah. So I think one thing to think of that I've been thinking about recently is that faith and fear by definition are the same thing. Expecting something you can't see will happen. And there's a lot of people that talk about this. So I'm regurgitating what other people say as well. When I think about that for real, I see a lot of entrepreneurs out there really afraid to take risk or really afraid of money. And when I like investing in themselves, investing in their company, and there's obviously dumb ways to spend money and smart ways to spend money. When I look at it, like when I look at money, I want to look at it like this. The disciples, they fished for a living. That's how they made money. And they fished a lot to make a little. Like they even think about this, they pulled a night shift. They fished all night and caught nothing before Jesus came. So they were not only like they fished a lot, but they kind of like had a crappy pond that wherever they were at. And so all of a sudden you keep following Jesus's journey and you see that they owed money to a tax collector. And so Jesus goes, "Hey guys, don't worry. Let's go fish." And they're probably like, "Bro, you don't get it. Like, fishing ain't that easy. Like, you know how many fish we got to freaking catch to pay all of our taxes?" And he catches one fish and pulls a gold coin out of its mouth and overpays the tax collector and like tips him. Not even like took it and gave it to someone else or distributed it to the disciples. Like, that's how simple financial resources were. Like, right? It's like if you have vision, God will bring the provision.
Yeah.
And like he was on a mission, and like, which is also great because the disciples came in submission to his mission because they saw that it was good. So when you have those things in alignment with what God's doing, I really feel like it shouldn't be that way. And so I tap into that because I truly believe that the number one commandment said over and over again in the Bible was do not fear. The number one thing that God said over and over again was do not fear. Yet I see too many Christian entrepreneurs making decisions out of fear. They're afraid to fail. They're afraid of not investing their money right. I'm like, hey, go read the parable of the talents. Like wicked, scornful, slothful, lazy was the man who didn't take the money and multiply it because they were afraid to lose it. Like afraid to invest. And there's two big places that are the best investment you can make that have the highest yield. And they're yourself, your skill sets, your network, your abilities, and your own business. Like those are number one and two. There's plenty of other things out there. But if you want to take one and two that are required, it's like those are the areas that you want to invest in, growing your skills, growing your capacity, growing your company. Second thing outside of that is the fear and faith thing. God operates out of faith. So if you're making decisions from a place of fear, God doesn't speak in fear. So whose voice are you listening to by not investing in yourself? If you're listening to fear. So that already is like, you look at David, there's an old like story that is taught even in kids like Sunday school about when Saul was delivered to David in a cave.
Yeah.
And even the prophecy said, God will deliver your enemies into your hands.
Yeah.
So everyone with David's like, he has 3,000 people trying to kill you and he's literally laying right in front of you and you can kill him. And I love how a pastor mentor of mine broke this down, because he said, is it good for David to be king? Like, is it what he's supposed to do? Sorry, I got some of my like.
No, you're good. You're all good.
But it's so good, I have to get it out, right? So,
yeah.
Is it good for David to become king? Yes. Is he called to become king? Yes. So it's a good thing. But he knew killing Saul was wrong. And so he didn't do something wrong to try to produce something good. And too often, like, you already know operating in fear is wrong.
Yeah.
Even if your intention is to try to do something good. What did the guy with the talent do? He operated in fear.
Yeah.
Trying to do something good. And he was called lazy and wicked. And the guy took the talent and gave it to the guy who had 10.
Wow. That's a great breakdown of, you know, fate and fear. The same
thing. I'm saying that in the business sense though, like at the end of the day, align yourself with God, his commands, ask for his wisdom. And if you're called to business, find the areas that you can start contributing and building a skill set. Don't operate out of fear. Like, there has to be a boundary of, if I'm called to business, I'm called to take risks, calculated risks. Well, find the correct mentors. Like, I just posted the other day, because Solomon, after he died, his son became king.
Yeah.
What did his son do differently than Solomon? Well, first off, he didn't focus on the people he was serving. Yeah. He only focused on his kingship. But the first thing that he did wrong was that he did a great thing. He asked for help. He went to the elders that sat underneath Solomon's wisdom their entire career, and they gave him advice. And he said, okay, now I'm going to go to my friends that are all I grew up with, young guys, see what they think. And he took the wisdom of the young friends over the elders that had sat underneath Solomon's wisdom their whole life.
Hmm.
And you took a guy who ran the most successful kingdom to destroying a kingdom in one little foul swoop. It's like, biblically, there's tons of things in there that can show us exactly, like, what are we doing? Like, how often does that happen? They have someone like you, someone out there who's smarter, ahead of them, and they're like, hey, what should I do? It's like, well, you should invest in yourself, invest in your business. Don't make investments that are like shoes and watches if you don't have excess income, because that's not, shoes ain't making you money. But invest in skills, invest in knowledge, invest in network, invest in books, invest in growing yourself. That's great soil. Like, you were so worthy of investment that Christ came and died for you. Like, you can invest a couple bucks in yourself. That isn't even yours. It's like that's a great place to start. And I truly believe that, you know, for each person, their business path is different. But for me, it was when I started realizing that everything that I was praying for, skill set wise, God was providing people around me that could give me wisdom and insight and knowledge. And if I would just humble myself and use the resources that he's given me to invest and multiply. Like, I invest in mentors, like you said, masterminds, things that can grow me above everything else. Then I make the biggest investments inside of my business. How do you know what business to make? Okay. Where do you feel called in life? Where are you looking to go? What life do you want to live? What impact are you looking to create? What skill sets do you have? What do you like to do? What are you good at? And what are the options that you have to be able to exercise all of those things in one outlet? what's the process that God's taking you through. But God truly calls us more so than anything to prosper in the thing that we're doing right now. Like, if you can't do that, like, you're not going to do good in a different opportunity. So it's going to be different for each person. Like, for me, 20 years old, I'm married, go straight into business with my wife, and failed for 3.5 years. Like, not no profit, like nothing. And so it's like, that was not easy, but I kept going after, like, I knew what I was called to. I knew what I was meant to do. I knew what I was good at. I kept just continuing to show up faithfully, knowing that if I choose my path, God will direct my steps. New opportunities would come, and I was going to be open to that when they came. I knew I wasn't going to operate out of faith or fear, but I was going to operate out of faith. I knew I was going to listen to wise counselors, not just people around me that had 2 cents, because usually it's only worth 2 cents if it's someone's 2 cents. So, you know, it's like, if I listen to those wise counselors, then success leaves clues, and I can go to them for advice. And yeah, those are the ways that I operate and everything. I could obviously go more in depth on like every single business thing, but in general, I think that those are great lenses for people to look through if they feel called to business, to give them a firm foundation for growth.
No, you're 100% right. Yeah, 100% right. This is definitely has been a great interview, just listening to you and learning from you. You know, but I also want to give you an opportunity to talk more about the King's Brotherhood. I know you mentioned that's something that you're currently focused on. Oh, yeah. So you quickly talk about, you know, how can people tap in and what can they expect from being part of this community?
100%, man. So our vision with King's Brotherhood is to advance God's businessmen. This is a men's community only, specifically for people that have a pre-existing business and feel called to business in the future, with tons of free resources for people. Yet the goal was to take it from an earthly prosperity, which is health plus wealth plus relationships times me equals three-dimensional. We make a four-dimensional businessman with his health plus wealth time plus covenant community, which is a whole different level of relationship with God as the center, times God as the multiplier of those things in our life, and aligning and allowing God to be the multiplier of our business, our success, and our relationships. And so everyone there is like-minded faith, growing together inside of business without sacrificing any of the other areas of our life and not having to compromise in any of those. So we have guys that are running multi-million-dollar companies that are inside of our King's Brotherhood Elite, and they're all running together as like-minded businessmen together. But ultimately, the best place to connect on that is my Instagram is Nicholas Bailey. And the second thing is on Facebook, we have a group called The King's Brotherhood. If you fill out all the questions, just say that you came from this podcast and you'll get accepted in there with 5,800 other businessmen just like you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with my audience. And, you know, for those who are listening, I hope you guys don't see as another entrepreneur, another business person on the show. I hope this encourages you to go deeper in your faith in Christ and actually step out in faith. If you're looking for a group of Christians who are working towards reaching their financial goals, you know, working on becoming financial free without compromising their faith, look no further and join the Praying Invest group on Facebook. And thank you again. Thank you again, Nicholas Bailey, for your time and taking time out of your day to be here.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.